Hello, and welcome to Send Parenting Balance podcast. My name is Katie Walker, and I talk all things parenting children with ADHD, autism, PDA, and/or any other associated mental health difficulties. Today's topic of conversation is accepting and reframing limitations. Remember, you are choosing from limited options. And I sometimes think, as parents and carers of children with ADHD, autism, and/or PDA, that we forget this so easily. So let me explain. If you are a parent or carer with a child with autism, ADHD, and/or PDA, then you may have come across hurdles that you've had to dig very deep inside of yourself to try and accept. Even if the outcome is disappointing, picking from two outcomes that neither sit well with you, if you like. I've recently had this example myself, which promoted this podcast. My youngest, age 7, has an eating disorder linked to autism, named ARFID, Avoidance and Restrictive Eating Disorder. If you're interested in hearing about that separately, please go over and see my ARFID podcast. This eating disorder takes a whole lot of patience from me, but it can affect his health, therefore needs daily supervision to check on things such as what he has eaten and when, because his blood sugar levels can drop and he can go extended periods of time without food naturally, which can cause a whole host of other behaviours that can be easily unavoidable if the ARFID is managed correctly. Now, this doesn't work especially well on a school day. You see, food is contextual, as with most other special needs, an extra layer of understanding is definitely needed when trying to understand ARFID. The hot dinners do not suit Harry. The rules at lunchtime and sensory aspects of lunchtime do not suit Harry, and therefore he won't eat cold food, so a packed lunchbox doesn't work. Now, I can already hear most of you say, well, he could have home dinners. If he's not going to have cold food and he's not going to have hot food and the lunchtime and sensory aspects don't suit Harry, then how about home dinners? But listen to these complexities. Due to his autism and separate social difficulties, he doesn't get party invites or invites to other children's houses. We have struggled to have children back at our house, although I'm still trying, and he is separated from the two friends he has at school throughout the school day because behaviours escalate and he can end up in trouble. So he is in a different class from his two friends he was with last year. So, with this in mind, you've guessed Harry's favourite part of the day is to see his two friends at lunchtime and play. To bring him home for lunch would remove the only part of social that his day has, and it could have detrimental effects of isolation and heightened anxiety. He probably would likely not even want to come home. The PDA part of Harry will likely refuse, and he would be quite happy from choice to just not eat lunch if he was given the choice, because he would like to play with his friends. So it would seem that I have few options. Currently, he won't eat hot or cold food at school, and I can't bring him home for lunch for the other reasons linked to the special needs he has. It's a direct conflict. The school have a current intervention in place and is trying lots of different versions of potatoes, but so far this is proving difficult and he is very hungry when returning home from school. This is the perfect example of many examples I have had, and that it is that I have to choose an outcome that I dislike. I obviously would rather that he manage to eat lunch and see his friends at lunchtime, like all the other children do. But as you know, as parents or carers of children with autism, ADHD, and/or PDA, sometimes we have to sit in an uncomfortable place while we try and work out an intervention that we hope may work. But of course, this can take time. I was speaking to a friend a few months ago, and she was saying how she couldn't get her daughter to have the flu vaccination. It was a vaccination for her daughter due to other health concerns, so she couldn't have the nasal spray. But no matter what intervention she tried, and she had tried lots and had actually got very creative, her daughter was just too anxious. So she had to accept that this year the flu vaccination was just not possible. And this sat uncomfortably with her. And I'm sure yourself, you can think of many times where there seems to have only been two outcomes and actually both aren't ideal. When this happens, we need to appreciate that we've emptied the toolbox. That is, we have explored every possible avenue and tried every possible intervention. And for now, and please remember, everything is phases, it may not be forever, we can just keep trying, alternatively, accepting that you just may need to pause for a small moment. I speak to many families who find teeth brushing is just not happening. To try and place an intervention to brush teeth can cause anxiety, meltdowns, and violence in the child. But to not try brushing teeth means the possibility of bad teeth and fillings, which we all know, particularly our sensory processing disorder children, will not like at all. Whenever there is violence, such as in the example of teeth brushing, I often recommend taking your foot off the gas. That is, to not keep trying to brush teeth and accept that we're just going to pause for a moment. And so the parent or carer can feel like they're choosing to let their children have holes in their teeth. But that's not the case. The parent or carer is choosing in that moment, in this phase, not to create anxiety in the child that may lead to meltdowns, a fight or flight response, or violence. That's the choice that's been made, and that is the best choice in that moment. Perhaps in 2 weeks, things may improve, and we can hope by perhaps changing the focus. Perhaps rather than asking to brush teeth daily, you could take your foot off the gas, almost ignore the teeth brushing, and perhaps once a week just ask the child if their teeth feel okay, acting genuinely concerned. The child may ask, "Why are you asking?" And you could respond with, "Well, I know you're not able to brush your teeth at the moment, so I'm worried that they may start to hurt or feel different. A friend of mine had to have a filling last week, so I thought I'd best check." And this will likely prove quite a powerful strategy. So you're not giving up on teeth brushing at all. You're not accepting bad teeth at all. You're accepting that for now, you may need to pause for a moment and try something else. A little like Harry and his food. I hope that one day soon he will try something at school within the intervention of trying new foods, perhaps. In the meantime, I will ensure that he has a big breakfast, a snack waiting for him on the playground after school, a 4 p.m. dinner as soon as we're home, and then another dinner at 7 p.m. before bed. At the moment, between the choices available to me, this is the best option that I have. I haven't given up. I'm still trying in amongst accepting that this is the absolute best I can do amongst two outcomes that neither are ideal. Sometimes it's about accepting limitations and reframing them outside of the frustrations, the parental guilt, and the just fix it attitude. I had the just fix it attitude with my eldest. He's 18 now, when he was little, and especially with his eating disorder, because he too has ARFID. Back then, I signed up to every support avenue available, and we went to many appointments to find many different professionals, and I assumed that I was going to find something to fix it, the eating disorder, that is. Of course, I never did fix the eating disorder, because just like autism, ADHD, and PDA, it can't be fixed. However, I did fix my mindset in the process, and that is that I can manage it the best way I can. I had to reframe the problem. I can manage it positively, even though sometimes I will need to accept that there will be phases that whatever I try may not work. And that doesn't mean I'm trying any less. In fact, in these times is exactly when I'm working harder. Managing conditions is exactly what we're doing with sensory processing difficulties, with eating disorders, with sleep disorders, with autism, with anxiety, with self-harm, with OCD behaviours, ADHD, and PDA behaviours. They all need managing. Sleep disorders is the one that I feel is particularly difficult to manage, just as food is, especially when it comes to the mainstream environment. It's an additional need that can rarely be fixed. It does need to be managed. Some manage to get melatonin prescribed and it works for their children, and for other children, melatonin doesn't work. Some manage to get melatonin online because they can't get it prescribed, and some try all different bedtime routines and yet can't seem to catch a break. Some try private sleep therapists. That's me. I tried it just to find out that it was a waste of money. Some parents and carers allow iPads and TVs in bedrooms as a form of routine, yet others still declare the blue light argument. And yet, regardless of which route you take, the outcome is exhausted parents or carers. Let's be real, you are indeed human, and lack of sleep is absolute torture if you've experienced tiredness in the way SEND families have. And of course, unauthorised absences at school, potentially leading to parental stigma and fines. Lucky you. Now you have the choice of an unregulated child going to school and inevitably having a horrendous day due to tiredness if your child has a sleep disorder. Or you have the choice to take another day off work yourself, have the child stay home and catch up on sleep, but you will potentially get in trouble with the school. Both two terrible choices that you have to choose from, but one I'm sure that you recognise well. We need to move our minds from the negativity of the two options we are faced with and reframe this with we are managing a sleep disorder. A hugely high percentage of children with autism and ADHD suffer sleep disorders. It is not uncommon. So the question is not to fix it, the question is how do you choose to manage it? Personally, with two sleep disorders in the house, I've had to leave my career. I chose to not force Emily through school and to let her get at least 7 hours sleep before sending her into school. This, of course, meant that this was usually a lunchtime school start for her and battling a very discriminatory school system in regards to attendance. However, the alternative choices of forcing her go into school on no sleep and also me going into work on no sleep wasn't going to hold up very long until one of us ended up in hospital. I was managing her condition the best way I could with the resources that I had. Of course, within a few months, I managed to get melatonin prescribed and other things started to work. Now she's older, I can look back and see that she can now independently manage her sleep disorder and it has less impact on me. But in my mind, at that time, when she was going through about 4 years of a sleep disorder, I was not allowing her to lay in bed all day, and I didn't not care for her schooling. I didn't not care for my career. I was managing a sleep disorder linked to autism and ADHD the best way I could with the resources that I had open to me. Now, I can hear you all say, but the school doesn't see it like that, and I hear you. I have full empathy and understanding. I am currently going through a similar system with my youngest, and that's their problem. My child's mental health would always come before education. I will have to continue the school battle for as long as the phase of the sleep disorder lasts, but that's my choice in the two options that I have. It's either she goes into school on no sleep, and I go into work on no sleep, which isn't going to last very long at all. Or I allow her at least 7 hours of sleep and she goes in later. Obviously, I'd rather choose for Emily not to have a sleep disorder and attend school happily every day, like lots of other children. But that isn't one of my options. So I am managing a condition, and that condition is a sleep disorder linked to ADHD and autism. Reframing your mind, if you can, is hugely powerful, and it's absolutely right to do so. Accepting the options that you can sometimes be faced with without the ability or special power to just fix it and make it go away, and reframe the limitations to managing a condition, whether that be a sleep disorder, an eating disorder, or brushing teeth sensory processing disorder, without that parent guilt attached. Your choices are likely limited at times, with very little wiggle room for your preferred choice at other times. One final example to highlight was when my daughter's mental health was so bad prior to homeschooling while she was in mainstream education that I had to really consider my options. I had exhausted all school-based interventions of getting her into school, And although she was home from school, her mental health was so bad that she was self-harming, had a hair-pulling OCD condition, had high anxiety, regular panic attacks, and school attendance difficulties. So I chose to homeschool. This decision in turn has made these conditions disappear. She still has autism, ADHD, and a sleep disorder, but has positive mental health. On frustrating home education days, yes, we still have frustrating days in which I miss my job and I miss my friends that came with working outside of the home. I have to remind myself that for Emily, my daughter, there was never an option of her positively, happily attending school full time and for me to enable to hold down that career. That wasn't an option. The choice was terrible mental health and severe self-harm with non-school attendance, therefore no education, or home education with, as we now know, positive mental health. Both options I had to choose from came with no career for me. So remember that the choices you have are limited, and don't allow society or others to make you believe otherwise. Allow yourself the acceptance and kind to see that you are choosing between two very difficult options and doing the best you can in amongst that. Now, in amongst choosing a less than ideal option, you can still put in interventions to help. So you've not given up, so to speak, just like in the toothbrushing experience. You may just be changing your approach or intervention. If you need help with brainstorming interventions that may help or ideas to pop into your toolbox of resources, then please do find me at www.sendparentingbalance.com. I can help in so many ways. Also, don't forget to sign up to the website for free to receive money off vouchers, tips and tricks each month, and sign into our community chat room for support from other Send parents and myself. You can do all this by checking out the website at www.sendparentingbalance.com. And please don't forget, if you have any behaviour concern linked to child autism, ADHD, and/or PDA, please do check out the brand new Breaking Barriers, Building Belief parent support course aimed at reducing meltdowns and violence, but also includes parental emotional regulation, parental well-being, child anxiety, challenging behaviours, and setting ourselves up with professionals and schools positively moving forward. You can access the course as a group session with me, Katie Walker, over 6 weeks. We meet every week for an hour and a half as a group Zoom online. Alternatively, if these group times don't suit you, you can access the pre-recorded sessions so you can access the course material whenever you like at a time that suits you. Once you've completed either one of these courses, whether that be with me or the pre-recorded session, you can move on to the weekly drop-in support sessions with myself and other parents and carers that have completed Breaking Barriers, Building Belief. Please do check out www.sendparentingbalance.com for further details. I do hope this podcast has helped maybe see that our two options we get to choose from sometimes aren't always positive, but we do the best we can by reframing them positively and really having some acceptance as to how difficult those options can be. I hope you have the best day and that you're kind to yourself today. And as always, I look forward to seeing you next time. Take care.